Good afternoon, 4:30 and 33 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Samantha Morrill.
Let's focus on why we are doing these things. Freedom is American. Choice is American. And I encourage you, be strong. Don't be distracted by the noise and the static.
Governor Bevin got a rude reception from union workers at the Capitol today when he testified for a right-to-work law.
A House committee approves a bill requiring ultrasounds for pregnant women seeking abortions.
And the search for a new president at Moorhead State has entered a new phase.
In sports, U of L is in South Bend tonight to take on the Fighting Irish.
But Luke has the stocks.
Clear and cold tonight with temperatures falling into the upper teens. The complete forecast is up after this news.
The House Judiciary Committee this afternoon approved a bill requiring Kentucky women seeking an abortion to be shown an ultrasound prior to the procedure. The issue sparked an emotional debate between Representatives Tom Burch and Stan Lee. Lee is a Lexington Republican who voted for the measure. Burch is a Louisville Democrat who opposed it.
When I listen to these people up here speak from no experience and never had experienced anything like that, and condemn a woman to go through the indignity of watching all this garbage that they throw up there in front of them, and then think they're going to swallow it.
You know, I've seen an ultrasound, Representative Burch. I had experience with that. What I saw was a little unborn girl who became my daughter. So I resent the implication that a father has no experience with his child or the birth of his child.
Kate Miller of the Kentucky ACLU says the bill appears to be intended to shame women who've chosen to have an abortion. Republican Robert Benvenuti says that's ridiculous. He says it just gives them more information.
An Eastern Kentucky lawmaker says he'll introduce a bill this week banning abortions after 20 weeks of pregnancy. State Senator Brandon Smith is a Republican from Hazard. He talked with reporters at the Capitol Tuesday about his proposal.
There's been an argument about at what point does the fetus experience pain. And there are a lot of people that want you to believe that that doesn't happen until much later, but that's not the case. And we've got really good evidence that shows that at 20 weeks that you're seeing these children, these fetuses trying to fight off a stimulus where it's going to be painful for them.
Smith says there will be exemptions in his bill for victims of rape and incest, in addition to circumstances in which the mother's health is in jeopardy. He says the proposal will also call for fines and suspensions of licenses for physicians who perform abortions after 20 weeks.
A right-to-work bill this afternoon cleared the Kentucky House Committee on Economic Development and Workforce Investment. This after Republican Governor Matt Bevin appeared before the panel and told lawmakers Kentucky needs the law to bring more companies and opportunity to the Commonwealth. As the governor testified, hundreds of union workers banged on the walls of an adjoining room, yelling, "Working people matter."
It makes a profound, profound difference. And all the banging on floors and all the yelling and all the chanting isn't going to change the reality. In states that are not right-to-work states, union membership in the last 10 years has declined.
The governor claims Kentucky is losing jobs to neighbors like Tennessee and Indiana, which are right-to-work states. The law would ban mandatory labor union membership. The committee also approved a bill repealing Kentucky's prevailing wage law. State Representative Gerald Watkins says neither measure will improve economic development in the Commonwealth. The Paducah Democrat says all communities that are prospering have three things in common.
They're located on an interstate, have a moderate climate, and a four-year university presence, not a right-to-work law. I think we can do a number of things to create jobs and grow our economy in Kentucky. I don't believe passing a right-to-work law is the silver bullet to accomplish these goals that we all want and agree on.
The measures known as House Bills 1 and 3 are expected to reach the floor for votes during this year's short session.
Veteran State Representative Rocky Adkins of Moorhead says his new role as House Minority Leader will take some getting used to, but he and his Democratic Party will make the adjustment. Adkins told reporters in Frankfort Tuesday that Democrats can work with the new Republican majority on a variety of issues.
We're going to be together as a team as we move forward, and we look forward, really, as we do move forward on our agenda and to be with the majority when we can to move Kentucky forward, but to also be that loyal opposition when we need to be as well.
Adkins says Democrats will continue working hard all over Kentucky to rebuild the party and restore their majority in the House.
Even though Republicans now control both chambers of the Kentucky legislature, an Eastern Kentucky state representative denies the notion that they will be a rubber stamp for GOP Governor Matt Bevin's agenda. While she understands why some people might think that, Grayson Republican Jill York is certain that won't happen in the House. She says that there are 100 people holding seats in that chamber, all with the top priority of taking care of those living within their diverse districts.
I don't believe that we've ever been a rubber stamp for anything, at least within the caucus that I serve with. We've got a very deep bench of really smart people who come from a lot of walks of life and bring a lot of expertise to the discussion. So I believe that the same sort of scrutiny and vetting and a healthy dose of skepticism will be brought to any initiative that's brought to us.
According to York, the goal for every member of the legislature should be to do what's best for Kentucky, not what's best for their party.
The listening area is expected to see up to 2 inches of snowfall over the next 24 hours, and road crews have been spending the day preparing. Trucks have already been out, spraying nearly 2,000 miles of roadway with a brine solution that will help keep roads clear during the initial snowfall. However, the Transportation Cabinet's District 9 spokesman, Alan Blair, says the prep work doesn't end there.
You know, we always prepare for the worst, so that means getting everything ready. You know, we have 18,000 tons of salt, you know, more than 70 pieces of equipment from snow plows to salt trucks, and all of our 170 crew members are ready to go across our 10 counties.
Blair says those crews are prepared to work 12-hour shifts beginning tomorrow until the snow is clear and the storm has passed.
The hunt for Moorhead State University's next president has reached its directed reference stage. That's according to the man heading the search committee. Board of Regents member Wayne Martin says the group is contacting the references for the 10 remaining candidates for the post, while the effort's search firm is digging up all available information regarding those individuals.
We will convene again January 11th to share the information that each of us have gathered and what the search firm has gathered, and at that point make a decision on how many of those 10 that we will then take to the next stage of the search.
Those candidates will be interviewed at a location outside of Moorhead. The 3 to 4 finalists for the job will then be invited to visit MSU's campus for a final round of interviews. Martin says the plan is to pick someone to replace retiring school president Wayne Andrews by the end of March.
A proposed tax tabled last year by Grayson City Council is still being debated. MSPR's Chaz Jenkins reports.
According to the Grayson Journal-Inquirer, the proposal calls for a tax on restaurants in the area through a bond system in order to fund construction of a community park in Grayson. The tax was tabled while the city council waits on pending changes to the state's tourism tax law. The city recently hired Lexington-based Summit Engineering Incorporated to develop plans for the park. The tax will be discussed next Tuesday during a city council meeting. For Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
The Moorhead Police Department continues to work to get its planned community policing program started. The effort is being spearheaded by Captain Kyle Callahan. Callahan says the program is still in its setup phase, which began recently with the dividing up of the city into designated neighborhoods.
I think the way that we've got it broke down into sections of the city, I think that we'll get a good feel on what the community needs or expects from us, and kind of what we will expect from them too, you know, to try to help us out with any situations that we have in that area.
According to Callahan, the community policing program's start has been delayed somewhat by the recent holidays and a 2-officer shortage his department is currently dealing with. However, he believes neighborhood meetings to help get the program organized will begin in the next month or so.
A Winchester man was arrested yesterday afternoon and charged with one count of using an electronic device to procure a minor/police officer for sex. 32-year-old Richard Rowland was arrested by Kentucky State Police and lodged in the Round County Detention Center. The incident remains under investigation.
Kentucky Attorney General Andy Beshear says obtaining an adequate supply of the heroin antidote drugs naloxone and Narcan has not been a problem in the Commonwealth to date. Late last year, Ohio's AG negotiated a year-long price freeze with the manufacturers of those drugs to ensure that emergency responders in the Buckeye State were sufficiently prepared to battle the escalating problem of opioid addiction. Beshear says heroin overdoses have been on the rise in Kentucky, too, but access to life-saving drugs has not been an obstacle for police and EMS units in the Commonwealth.
What I have found is that we, at the moment, have a sufficient number of grant programs and other opportunities, either with the manufacturer or through different nonprofits out there, where it is available. Our biggest issue has been educating the public that they need to stock Narcan and naloxone.
Beshear says schools and universities in Kentucky should be stocked with both heroin antidotes.
State officials have agreed on a penalty for an Eastern Kentucky disposal company that illegally dumped low-level radioactive fracking waste in Estill County. MSPR's Arlo Barnett reports.
The State Energy and Environment Cabinet says it has signed an agreed order from October that proposed a $95,000 civil penalty for Advanced Disposal Services' Blue Ridge Landfill. The Cabinet's investigation revealed that 92 loads of waste were brought from West Virginia to the landfill in violation of state law. The illegally dumped waste is classified as technologically enhanced, naturally occurring radioactive materials. The agreement requires Blue Ridge to deposit $60,000 of the fine into an escrow account for the Estill County School District. That's to pay for the detection and mitigation of naturally occurring radon or establishing educational programs related to environmental sciences. Reporting for MSPR, I'm Arlo Barnett.
Northeastern Kentucky's Needy Families Fund wrapped up 2016 by receiving over $14,300 in donations. The charity is run by Community Assistance and Referral Services in Ashland. The money will go to CARES, the Salvation Army in Ashland, Project Merry Christmas in Carter County, and People Helping People in Greenup County. Director Lynn Childers says they hope to improve on 2016's total in the years to come.
It's been going for at least 15 years, and we will keep it going and keep trying to outdo the year before. That's our goal, is to continue to grow the fund so that we can continue to support those four agencies.
Childers says the amount raised this year by the Needy Families Fund was $3,000 less than 2015. If you wish to donate, visit CARES website at www.boydcountycares.com.
Turning to take a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, there is a winter weather advisory in effect until 8 a.m. Friday morning. Your weather for tonight, partly cloudy in the evening, then mostly cloudy with isolated snow showers near dawn. Lows in the lower 20s, the chance of snow is at 20%. For Thursday, numerous snow showers in the morning, then periods of snow showers in the afternoon. Snow accumulation is expected around 2 inches, highs in the upper 20s. Chance of snow is near 100%. Taking a look at area temperatures, it is 37 degrees in Ashland, 31 in Flemingsburg, 38 degrees in Inez. It's 32 degrees in Lexington and Winchester. Right here on the campus of Morehead State University, it is 33 degrees.
444, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. It is great to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon. On our feature segment, an effort is underway in Eastern Kentucky to close political divides through topics people have in common, the arts, music, and shared values. The Kentucky News Connection's Greg Stottlemyre has more.
In America, where the political divide has reached Grand Canyon proportions, one Kentucky county is trying to build deep community relationships to overcome these differences. It's happening in Letcher County, where 80% of the residents voted for Donald Trump. It is known as the Letcher County Culture Hub, and Ben Fink, who has been heavily involved in the effort, believes it can be a model for other communities. He says divisions are never absolute and can be bridged through culture on two levels.
One is art and music and theater and film and all that stuff. And then there's also culture on a deeper level, the shared values and the shared stories that we tell about each other, about ourselves, about our community.
The Culture Hub brings diverse groups together, from artists and musicians to volunteer fire departments and business associations. In the tiny town of Hemp Hill, which began as a coal camp over a century ago, lifelong resident Gwen Johnson says the idea has helped unite people, despite their differences over who should be president or the future of the coal industry. Johnson helps her mom run the Hemp Hill Community Center, a gathering spot for meetings, concerts, and classes. She says while some folks celebrated Trump's win to the fullest and others went into mourning, busy times at the community center have helped heal those differences.
There is a wide span of opinions at the table, but we are coexisting and just agreeing to disagree in order to get this work done.
Fink tells a similar story. He came to Kentucky from the Northeast to work for Apple Shop, the grassroots cultural and media center that started the Culture Hub. While helping cash-strapped local fire departments put on a bluegrass music festival, left-leaning Fink says he became friends with some of the volunteers, even one he says supports far-right politicians.
We recognize that there's differences. We recognize that we disagree on things, and we also recognize that we share a lot more than what we don't. We get along just fine. We recognize that we got a lot of stuff in common, you know, stuff like music and sense of humor.
And that, says Fink, is what the Letcher County Culture Hub is building. Bridges, he hopes, are built across America. I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
447, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All Things Considered is coming up at 5 o'clock in Chuck Has Sports in just a moment.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio Works, serving Morehead and surrounding communities with WIVY at 96.3 FM. All the programming of WIVY, music, news, and Morehead State University football and basketball are available worldwide on WIVYradio.com. Apps are available for both your Apple and Android devices. WIVY proudly supports Morehead State University and Morehead State Public Radio.
The Cards hit the court. Good afternoon from Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Chuck Meraz reporting. The Louisville basketball team has a key ACC contest tonight at Notre Dame. Coach Rick Pitino will lead the ninth-ranked Cardinals into South Bend at 9 o'clock to face the number 23 Fighting Irish.
Notre Dame is a team with upperclassmen all starting. They shoot it great. They're number one in the nation in foul shooting. They're number one in assist turnover ratio. They shoot it, pass it, don't miss their free throws, and pretty typical of the way they play. They don't turn it over very much, and they have a high amount of assists.
Louisville is 4-8 lifetime when playing at Notre Dame. Saying the Wildcats are beginning to play like one of his teams, Kentucky basketball coach John Calipari was pleased with their work during last night's 158 round of Texas A&M at Rupp Arena. Malik Monk's 26 points led UK, which shot over 52% from the field while passing out 16 assists. Calipari's Big Blue also forced the Aggies into 25 turnovers.
That's about as well as we can play. In other games, we had played well for 20 minutes, and then 10 minutes we looked like an AAU team. Today we kind of was grinding it on defense, didn't take crazy chances, you know. So it was pretty good for us.
The win improved the sixth-ranked Cats to 12-2 overall and to 2-0 in the SEC. They host Arkansas Saturday. Both Morehead State basketball teams are at home tomorrow for an OVC doubleheader against Eastern Illinois. The Eagle women will be looking to add to their 12-3 overall record and their 2-0 conference mark at 5:30. As for the MSU men, senior forward Dewan Marrero and his teammates will be hoping to get a key victory at 7:45 that will help them get their season turned around.
Boost our confidence. We're already confident in every game that we could win, but it's playing 40 minutes hard together, collectively.
EIU is 8-6, but lost its conference opener to Jacksonville State. High school hoops, the 6-7 Rowan County Lady Vikings on the road tonight to take on Menifee County. Cincinnati Bengals cornerback Adam Pac-Man Jones told reporters while leaving jail today that he's sorry about the situation that put him behind bars, but doesn't believe he should have been charged with assault. Jones was freed this morning from the Hamilton County Jail, where he was booked early Tuesday on 3 misdemeanor charges stemming from a hotel scuffle. A felony count was added after the sheriff's office says he spit on a nurse's hand. He was charged with assaulting a hotel security employee, but says he merely touched him. A judge yesterday ordered Jones to provide a blood sample and be tested for communicable diseases. The sheriff's office said it had to wait until medical staff was available. Jones says he thinks the case will be dismissed, quote, pretty soon. The Detroit Lions have announced that Jim Caldwell is coming back to coach the team next season. The 9-7 Lions dropped their last 3 games of 2016 to finish second behind Green Bay in the NFC North. That said, they still clinched a wild card playoff berth. Former Washington Redskins quarterback Joe Theismann is not happy with the San Francisco 49ers' decision to give Colin Kaepernick an award for being their most inspirational and courageous player. Kaepernick sparked a national debate by kneeling during the national anthem before games as a way of protesting racial injustice and police brutality. Kaepernick received the Len Eshmont Award last week. The prize is described as the team's most prestigious honor. Its recipient is decided by the players. Theismann noted the team's 2-14 record during an appearance on Fox News on Tuesday and questioned what Kaepernick has inspired. He said, quote, everyone has the right to express their opinion, but not in the workplace. Theismann called on the NFL to adopt a policy requiring players to stand for the anthem. The University of Minnesota has fired football coach Tracy Clays despite the Gophers' 9-4 record this season and their recent victory in the Holiday Bowl over Washington State. Clays publicly supported his players during their recent boycott over the suspension of 10 players in connection with allegations of sexual assault. Athletic director Mark Coyle says he didn't fire Clays without serious thought first.
You don't want to make decisions based on emotion. You know, and I think, we had a chance to take a step back. Obviously, I evaluate our program daily, just like I'm evaluated daily. And we felt like today was the right day to make this decision.
Coyle says Minnesota will move quickly to replace Clays. The Cincinnati Reds have added some help for their beleaguered bullpen. They've signed veteran right-hander Drew Storen to a 1-year, $3 million contract. The native of Indianapolis says he's happy to be joining the Reds.
Being my hometown team, it's special that something like this has worked out. And, it's a great opportunity for me. And, obviously I see the Reds as an organization that's only going up. So, it's a young group, and hopefully I can help out some of the guys with my experience. Obviously, you've got some talented young arms down there, so I'm excited to see that.
Storen appeared in 57 games last season for Toronto and Seattle, winning 4 games, saving 3 others, and compiling an ERA of 5.23. And finally, the Oakland A's have signed veteran outfielder Rajay Davis, who helped Cleveland win the American League championship last season. The 36-year-old Davis hit only .249 last season, but led the AL with 43 stolen bases. He also hit a memorable clutch homer in Game 7 of the World Series against the Cubs. And that's a look at sports. Have yourselves a good evening. For MSPR, I'm Chuck Meraz reporting.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle basketball will host a doubleheader with Eastern Illinois tomorrow night. The women play at 5:30 and the men's contest is at 7:45. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. The stock market ended today on a higher note, ending just below its session high, as at the close the Dow Industrial showed a gain of 60.4, finishing at 19,942.16. The S&P 500 was up 12.92. at 2270.75, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 47.92 at 5477. 9 out of 11 sectors finished the day in positive territory, with materials claiming the top spot on the leaderboard. The automakers were in the news today as they reported much better than expected sales for the month of December. On a year-over-year basis, GM reported a 10% increase, while Ford Motors saw a 0.3% gain, and the two names finished up by 5.5% and 4.6% respectively. On the data front, the Federal Reserve released the minutes from its December meeting showing a discussion about the recent surge in the dollar that lifted the U.S. dollar index to a fresh 14-year high. Members of the committee discussed the potential headwinds stemming from dollar strength, but hedged that discussion by noting that continued dollar strength might keep down inflation. And the minutes showed uncertainty over possible changes in fiscal policies, although members agreed that near-term risks to the economy appear roughly balanced. And on the earnings front, several companies are scheduled to report before tomorrow's opening bell, with Monsanto and Walgreens being the most notable. In precious metals, gold broke out to its highest level in 3 weeks, as the February contract was up $3.20, finishing at $1,165.20 an ounce. And in the crude oil markets, they had a volatile day and actually closed near session highs, as the February crude contract rose 92 cents to finish at $53.28 a barrel. Among your S&P 500 stocks, your best performers were Freeport-McMoRan and NRG Energy, and your worst performers were both refiners, Valero and Tesoro. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated up $1.88 at $111, Marathon Petroleum down $1.73 at $51.20, CSX up 74 cents at $36.83, AK Steel up 57 cents at $11.11, AEP up 7 cents at $62.83, and Community Trust Bank was up 30 cents to finish at $50. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Taking a final look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, there is a winter weather advisory in effect until 8 a.m. Friday. Your weather for tonight, partly cloudy this evening, then mostly cloudy with isolated snow showers near dawn. Lows will be in the lower 20s overnight and the chance of snow is at 20%. For Thursday, numerous snow showers in the morning, then periods of snow showers again in the afternoon. Snow accumulation around 2 inches Thursday. Highs will be in the upper 20s and the chance of snow is near 100%. For Thursday night, you'll see periods of snow showers in the evening, then scattered snow showers late. Snow accumulation around 1 inch, bringing the total snow accumulation up to around 3 inches. Lows will be in the mid-teens and the chance of snow is near 100%. For Friday, partly sunny with highs in the lower 20s. Friday night's going to be cold and partly cloudy in the evening, becoming mostly cloudy later on, lows around 10 above. For Saturday, sunny skies with highs in the lower 20s. Taking a look at area temperatures, it is currently 37 degrees in Ashland, 31 in Flemingsburg, 38 degrees in Inez, 32 in Lexington and Winchester. Right here on the campus of Morehead State University, it is 33 degrees.
And that does it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had assistance from Chuck Baraz, Paul Hitchcock, Arlo Barnett, Ashley Chapman, and Chaz Jenkins. From the Kentucky News Connection, Greg Stottlemyre. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BHINES. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Samantha Morrill and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte. Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.